But I tell you, I'm going to get in a position where I can put me some cows someplace.
I need to find you a sliver of ham.
I'm going to. I tell you, I've been under an awful strain in the last 2 months.
Like y'all got more jobs than you know what to do with now.
Well, I tell you, say, I've been in predicaments. Awful close places. But I ain't went under yet.
No. That was right serious about that income tax.
I'm done.
Those checks. All at once.
How much would you need, Cookie? How much would you need to handle a few cows? $3,000?
No. I just wish I had $1,000 I could tie up and cow for 3 months.
Well, how much, what would you do then?
I'd sell them in about 3 months.
And just keep on selling, reselling, getting some more.
That's right.
How much could you, what would you get?
I'd buy right now, I'd buy 4 heifer cows. Like this heifer down here that had a kid.
Yeah.
I buy animals like that.
And hope they had a calf?
No, hope they didn't have a calf. Let them keep them through the summer and get them fat and they'll bring you top price.
Yeah. That won't cut, Cookie.
More.
Say that again.
How about the heifer?
You got some heifer calves?
Heifer cows.
Heifer cows?
Right.
Grown enough to breed?
That's right. Just like this heifer down here now. You put her on the market now, they'd sell them separate.
Mm-hmm.
If one man bought them, he'd say, sell a calf. Take a heifer home, put her on grass, give her a little green, get her started, and she would keep right on coming. And she'd put on 200 pounds this summer.
Mm-hmm. And sell her for beef.
That's right, sell her for beef as well.
You wouldn't go in for the calves?
Not necessarily.
I think that's where the most of the work is. If you go just for beef and buy according to the season, maybe, you know, have a little grass, a little hay, and And you don't, you're not tied down to any program. I think this child care program, as they call it, is, I think that's got the most work to it. And the most money involved.
What you mean, cows and kids? Yeah. You got a lot of money involved in.
Are you breeding?
Yeah.
Now, see, to come out on that, you've got to have so many cows. Enough to hire a little help. See, the little piddling I have, I can't hire any help. There's not enough in them, you see, I'm the hired help myself. Cows, 75 cows would be different. I'd go right from my back. Be sure they're all producing and not throwing off on me like these old cows I got out here now, some of them. You know, I reduced my cows for a very definite reason. I had gotten in pretty good shape, and they were breeding about the right time. And this year, that particular year, half of them was laid.
Laid?
Yes, sir. And that got the calving season and the breeding season clear out of whack.
Yeah.
And I had no idea what had happened. They had just as good feed as they ever had. It wasn't extra good feed, but they wasn't poor.
Uh-huh.
And I it scared me to death.
Hmm.
And I never have been able to get a hold of what you'd call good information. People come out and talk. But when they talk, I can see. I didn't know a whole lot more about it than I did. They were sort of guessing, or, you know, going by what experience they had. I used to try to get a little information on the veterinaries. Well, it's a mighty small amount of information you can get out of the vet.
Just like a doctor.
Is that
you
right?
Go to a medical doctor. Does he tell you anything? No.
Yeah.
He ain't gonna tell you what's wrong with you if you don't ask him.
Yeah.
And you may have to ask him three or four times.
Yeah. Now this, I think one reason. They're afraid to tell you. They're afraid to talk. Be wrong. Now this, this Dr. Beaton, the vet, is out here this week. I told him about my calves. Some of the calves were coming back this time. First time that bull ever had four calves or linebacks. Never had them before. And he said, how old was he? And I told him he's about 9 years old. Who else? He said, they wear out. Some of them. Well, I said he couldn't wear out. He didn't have enough service. He said his age would do it. And it's not all do it, but he says it's common. So you just you don't use a bull very long. You go ahead and get a fresh animal.
Well, my dad used one 2 years.
Is that right?
2 years.
Send it to market.
That's right. He got this is his second year on this Charolais. When he gets his cows bred this spring, he'll sell that Charolais bull.
Yeah. How much he got in the bull?
He got $400 in it.
And he figures that's cheap. Then he can get about that much out of it.
He'll get $400 out of it when he puts him on the market.
Yeah.
Well, actually, all this out for 2 years is a seed. And he's 4-year-old.
Yeah. Well, I said that to 3 or 4 people I just run into, and none of them agreed with it. I said, what bed was that? I said, they took Beecham because they couldn't do any better, but they'd rather have some of the others. So I don't...
Now my brother-in-law, he's got a white face. And I'm going to show you an example. Now he's got about 25 cows. Well, he had him last year, was his 3rd year. Well, he kept him this year. This makes him 4 years for the same bull. Last year, he had, I think it was either 4 or 5 cows that didn't even get a calf.
Yeah. Well, that hurt you.
Yeah. That hurt him real bad. He lost, it's either 4 or 5 calves. $400 or $500.
Well, that's your margin. Lord, that's more than margin.
So, it paid him 2 years ago to get rid of that bull and got him another.
Yeah. You know, the cheapest thing you can do is, test them. Test the cows. Of course, that's late, but it's not too late to do something.
They're better late than not at all.
I think they like for the calves to be settled for 2 months before they test them.
Yeah.
Well, that's, you can still make a motion.
Yeah, and get a veal calf. Get a calf for a veal.
Sure.
A veal calf will bring you just about as much as a feeder calf will now.
Right.
It sure will. You take this little calf down that you're going to sell.
Yeah.
You keep it till it's 4 or 5 weeks old, good and fat, it'll bring you $65.
Yeah.
It will.
And then put the calf back up in circulation. Best thing could happen to that all them pastures over there is for you to have around 20 head of cows over there. You see, that's the growing season right now. That grossens. It doesn't burn much stuff here now.
Yeah. I know just in the 2 weeks, there's a difference in this place.
Mm-hmm.
The grass has shot up that much in 2 weeks.
Yeah. Nice to. I think you haven't worked on that livestock market in a good long while.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're not as many shysters on it as there used to be. And, you know, I mean, and generally, they're more competent, I think. So, I think you'd do better on a market like this than you did on the old market.
Yeah, the market a market like this now is more stable.
It's more stable, and they got more money.
Right.
And they don't go by seasons.
No, just like Wallace Cobb up there. I noticed him. 95% of the time, he will start every cow.
Yeah.
He will start every cow.
You know what you could do? You could go over there after the sale and just pick out the cows you wanted and buy them from him. And he don't charge much. He just charges a little ahead, and you get his judgment.
Just a little freight. Yeah, he charges.
Yeah. Just a little bit. Now that's one thing to do now. They don't try to make it all on one cow. Now your family, because you don't know anything about cattle. They haven't had a chance to work with cattle.
They don't know nothing about cattle.
They haven't even had an old milk cow.
See, I had a milk cow for a year. I milked her for a year. And she wouldn't breed and sold her. Purebred Jersey. Had the papers on her. I sold her. I gave $100 for her and sold her for $100. Milked her a year.
Yeah.
So I didn't lose no money.
The only one I know now at milk is Dodd. They got their own milk.
Well, Jack Stokes, he's got his milk cow.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yes, man.
Shelly talks about 2 or 3 gallons of milk a day that they drink and all the cream.
Yeah.
Butter.
Yeah. And they have a little spare for the friends around it. That's you're talking about feeding. That milk is coming in every day. And it's right there on the place, and you don't have to run all over the county.
That's right.
In order to make it. And you know, I'm getting to the point where now you see Jim got this little garden out there. Now he's just playing with it. If I did it, I wouldn't play with it. I'd get me an acre out there and put in enough beans there to do something with them. Get 2 or 3 rows. And put in enough sweet potatoes, you see, for the winter. And you'd have it, wouldn't cost anything, and it'd be better stuff.
Tastes a lot better. Black Helen had green beans for dinner. She bought them out of the store. Them were the flattest whole beans that I've eaten in a long time.
And I'll bet you they were costly.
They were costly, that's right.
Oh, I know they were.
They were forced growing.
Yeah.
That's right.
Well, you take, if you plant them out here and fertilize them and let them grow themselves, they've got a different taste.
You know what I'm afraid of? I'm afraid I'm going to wait. You got something in the oven over there? Until I just have that gardening and all clear out of my system. And I won't do it. Now, I don't enjoy this little old radish type of gardening. I want to have several rows there and be able to pick enough to do something good.
In other words, if you when you go to the bean patch to pick beans, you want to pick a handful.
Yes.
You go to the corn patch to pull some rows near, you want to pull a bushel.
Yes.
But it seems a pity that when we've got as much land around here, it
that's right.
That we couldn't do something like that. And with some helpers.
It'd be less work and there'd be more in it than what I'm doing. And you wouldn't have to, and at least you'd have a little better eating.
You know, I just turned away. Now, I'm not squeamish about prices in the store. Just living with two people, it's not so bad. With mother here. And do you know what squash was? I don't know what the word pantry fried, but at the store I went to, they were 60 cents a pound. And
right.
I wouldn't even have them.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Whole beans haven't been under 50 cents where I go for a long time. And then
I think
could.
That was, I think for 49.
49 cents. And you take 3 or 4 pounds of whole beans and you got yourself a.
Then another thing, meat. You cannot go to a supermarket and get a decent piece of meat without having a special cut and put your finger on where you want to cut and how you want to cut. Of course, they're going to goof it up, I don't care. They're gonna make sure that you get so much of that waste. They're gonna make sure of that.
Yes.
They're gonna sell you that waste for about 79 cents a pound.
Yeah. Just a little to the customer.
Just a little to each one, and they done got wasted a cow.
Yeah.
Now, that's right. You can watch it, and just take the whole store in general, and you see.
Well, now, Cookie, you can do better, you might say. You can make more money with your drink. But it's not quite the same. The money won't do it all.
Well, I've got the equivalent of the equipment for tune-ups, alternator work, generator work, starter work, valve, and engine component parts. I've got the equivalent equipment that any shop in Gainesville has got. But do you know where my drawback is? I don't have $10,000 or $12,000 to stock the parts. To decorate my front, the front of my building, and to pay that tremendous overhead.
Yeah.
I don't have that kind of money to hold me for 3 or 4 or 5 months till I get my trade built up. If I had $12,000-$15,000 to tie in that, I wouldn't want to work. I wouldn't work. Of course, I'd start trading cows and horses.
Out like this ought to have a beef slaughter every now and then. put in your time. Well, now, old Jack Stokes, is he still going up there to the market?
Yeah, when he can get off. When he can get off, he goes up there.
Yeah. He can't. He can't get off regular.
No. Yeah, 126 miles from my station to the auction barn.
Yeah.
That'll take 2.5 hours to drive it.
Yeah. And you got a lot of little time to look around.
Yeah.
You see, Jack could work over there till 11 o'clock.
Yeah, but he can't leave there at 11 o'clock and get there by 12:30, the time sales stop.
Yes. Now he could go in Gainesville, Ocala.
Yeah.
There's just no satisfactory horse sales any closer.
Well, there's one in Tampa, but it's not any closer.
Yeah.
And it's on Wednesday night.
Yeah. Where's the night? Could you work at night? Mm-hmm. Operate at night?
The best money I've made in horses, I've done it with the fleshlight.
About the same as in the daytime.
It's in the daytime. They start selling at 12:30.
Old Etheridge, what's his name?
Gorman.
Gorman. Gorman's a little hard on a person, isn't he? Is he always that way?
Yeah.
He don't let up. Cookie said, I got some news for you fellas. And Gorman says, what is it? You going to commit suicide? And just kept it up, you see?
Yeah.
And Cookie really had something to say.
Yes. Yeah.
Damn, I was proud of it, and I'm still proud of it. I got a job at the university.
Sure.
After they froze, and you know yourself, Guy, that they froze all the salaries and all the jobs.
Yeah.
But I went to work.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
I went to work.
That's right. Now, it looked pretty dark there for a while, didn't
yes,
it?
Yes, sir, but I went to work on it.
Oh, you did. You worked on it.
I'm going to work on it myself.
Mm-hmm.
Old John Boatwright's a nigger, but he's a good nigger.
Yeah.
You see, they had to let a man go. He was not a satisfactory operator. Okay, you're on 6 months probation, and you go to work there. Well, his 6 months wasn't up. He was still on probation. They transferred him out to another department. That left his position open. That left his requisition open. Because this particular man hadn't fulfilled that requisition. Well, John Boatwright, he all but fought for me to get on that requisition.
Oh, is that right?
Yes, sir. He said, this man qualifies, He's got the record. He's got the diplomas to back him up in his qualifications. He said he needs the job. Yes, sir. They sent me over to Mr. Lake, over in the ground department. I talked to Mr. Lake, and he said, I'll have to check this thing out. I walked out of his office, walked in Ed Arthur's office, which is a safety officer for the grounds. Physical plant division. I talked with him about 2 minutes. He said, "Excuse me, Mr. Cook." He said, "I'll be back in a couple minutes." Mr. Lake met me at the door and said, "I want to talk to you." And I went to work the next day.
Is that right? Is that right?
That's right.
You mean it was that close?
It was that close.
Well, now, where did you, do I know Boatwright?
He's in the personnel center there, a hub. He's one of the big wheels.
Well, where'd you run into him?
Well, Jack Little told me that they had a mechanics position open about 8 months ago. I filled out another application and took over there. All right, Tom Halo, which was in personnel at that time, interviewed me. He said, "I'll give your application to Mr. Boatwright. He said, we'll put it on file. You keep in contact with him," which I did. I kept my application active. And then when they had to let this man, when they transferred this man from physical plant division over to another department, I don't know where he went. Why, Mr. Boatwright, Tom Halo had given me such a high recommendation because I did work on Tom's car.
Oh, you have?
I sure have. He recommended me so high to John Boatwright. John Boatwright put my application on top. Then when this other position came open after the transfer of this man, he called me and asked me if I was still interested in that job, and I told him yes. Well, he said, "I think I've put you to work." Well, I started the ball to roll. I kept aggravating him every day.
Did you?
I went over and talked to him. I called him on the telephone.
Just kept things open?
I kept things open.
Well, where did you learn to do that?
Tom Halo told me to.
I learned that long ago.
Tom Halo told me to. He said, "You keep aggravating him and you'll go to work."
Yes, sir.
But Tom Halo, he quit the university and went to Independent Life Insurance Company. But he told me that after he quit the university.
Yeah.
He said, "You keep bugging them and they'll put you to work."
Yeah. Well, it works. It doesn't work just like it sounds. It just really, in a way, you keep in touch with them. It keeps it open. And it shows them you're interested. And it gives them a little chance to see you.
Uh-huh.
Just so you don't worry. And it's easy to talk to a man, not worry him, isn't it?
Oh, sure.
Just keep it on. Oh, I've done that many times. And enjoyed it.
Yeah.
It doesn't always work, but it's one of those things that helps to know that. Oh, I've seen so many, especially the young fellas. They'll write it all out and put it in the mail, and they think that's it.
Yeah.
And if they don't get an offer the first thing, they...
disappointed. Bad.
Yes, they don't think something's happened.
tell you, I don't care how many phone calls you make. I don't care how many letters you write. One personal appearance will do more than all of that.
I found it better to write a letter.
To me, personal appearance does me more good than anything else.
To me, personal appearance did more harm than anything I could do.
Yeah.
You see, I can handle a piece of paper where I not very conscious of the other. Isn't that curious?
Yeah.
You got it. I guess some people work better on the phone.
Yeah.
You know, they're married.
I can't work on the phone, and I can't work on by letter.
Yeah.
I woke up and talk to a man, though.
Yeah. I ain't by and large that's the best.
Have to go over on Saturday?
Well, hell, you're going to be lost, because you're not going to do on Saturday.
I'm going to go down here.
Something to do.
5 days a week, 8 hours a day. And they don't want you to not put in no overtime. In other words, at 4 o'clock, I don't care where we're at, we'd rob everybody.
Except it's generally a quarter of four or something like that.
If we got anything in our hands.
Yeah.
Punch in until 8 o'clock. That's it. 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
And at 10 o'clock, we sit down. 15 minutes.
What do you do?
We get a 15-minute break in the morning and a 15-minute break in the afternoon.
Yeah.
We get a half hour for lunch.
Yeah.
So that's 7 hours.
She likes it. She's glad to see me get out of the station.
Yeah.
Because I'm putting in too many hours. In other words, I was under tension too many hours. When I opened that door one morning, I was under tension right then. And I was under tension until I closed it. Then I was still under a certain amount of tension because I afraid somebody would break in.
Yeah. Or bust the
windows out.
Windows out. And anybody that walk up there, they think about, hell, this man got it easy. He don't got no word. Like that?
90% of them.
Frank? Smitty? Smitty got a huge payroll over there.
Yeah.
And he got some slow weeks.
And he got some slow men, too. To go along with them slow weeks.
How
would you get? I don't see how he makes the payroll. I don't.
And that's the best he can do.
Well, I believe if it wasn't for his hogs and chickens that he got on the farm, I don't believe he could make his payroll. See, he got a bunch of hogs and a bunch of chickens, too.
The devil he has.
He sure has.
Yeah,
he
has.
He sure has.
Oh, good Lord. funny to Frank was in good humor the last time too I seen him, Frank Smith. He's jolly whenever he feels good in the
movie. Yeah. He called me up the other day and asked me, said, "Why ain't you been to church?" I said, "Because I didn't want to go." "Why has your family been to church?" I said, "Just you ask them. They went to church last Sunday." "Where else did they go?" And I told them, "My old Calvary Baptist. They went over and sang for Reverend Drew."
"Yes."
"Yeah."
"Oh, I was aiming to get over there into the last 30 minutes, and I got interrupted, yeah."
And he yowed out around. Getting out too much.
Cookie, last time I was there, well, it was before that, Helen said, Alvin doesn't go to Sunday school. He runs it. And he and Brother Arnett sit over in the corner at that little bridge table, keeping the figures, but mostly they yah-yahing.
Yeah.
And you can hear them Father time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And every now and then, Alvin will lean over and hold his head. You don't know whether he's just resting or whether he's hurting.
I think he's hurting more than he rests. He's a mess.
I tell you, I'd love to hear that sister on there talk about the scriptures. She can. That's who it is, isn't it? No.
Wilkerson.
Huh?
Wilkerson.
Pauline
Wilkerson.
Yes, I always get it wrong. Pauline Wilkerson.
She can stand up there and quote scripture after scripture of the Bible to you.
And just talk.
And if she gets mad at you, she can get up there and just put the awfulest tongue lashing you ever got on you.
Oh, really?
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
You ever see that?
Yes, sir. When I worked at the school bus garage.
Yeah.
See, she drives a school bus.
Yeah.
And she'd come in there with tears running down her cheeks, and they wasn't nothing too mean for her to say.
And she could use that tongue.
She can put a tongue lashing that won't quit on you, boy.
Well, it's nice to hear.
Not pleasant.
Huh?
It's not pleasant.
It stings?
Yes, my fella. She called you anything but a gentleman.
Yeah. And you flinch a little bit.
I have. Of course, she hadn't been a woman, I wouldn't have took it.
Well, sometimes, Cookie, if they are really artistic about it, it don't sting quite as much as it. Miss Patterson used to get me told over here. Oh, I'm telling you, she could just lash just an easy little flake and settle me. Yes, and I knew when I had it too. I would love to go sit on that porch and talk to them. But I know they like everybody else here. Don't sit on the porch.
Was that Wilkerson?
Yeah.
No, they never steal.
Yeah. Moving all the time.
Well, you know, it's 4:00. I would have stopped moving and talked to that man.
You got to talk fast, haven't you?
Yeah.
What are you
going to
tell him?
I'm going to be there in the morning at 8 o'clock. Or 7 o'clock. And I'll be there to show him the ropes. And I'll let him pump gas. And I'll give him what he makes for the gas, but the oil will be mine. I knew how many quarts of oil I got.
You got the inventory.
Yes, sir.
And you'll give him a gun full of grease.
Right.
And he ought to go on from there.
That's right. He ought to make enough to buy him a bucket off one gun. A bucket of grease costs $9.46.
But he gonna have to buy chewing tobacco, cigarettes, all that other stuff, you see. It costs him too much to do business in order ever to get a toehold. You won't spend much.
No, I spend about 50 cents a day for cigars. I don't drink. That's the strongest thing I drink is coffee, and I usually beg it. I make a Gorman buy me a cup, or Bud Gillian, or Clyde.
What did you quit making it there for in the station?
Everybody else started drinking my coffee.
Yeah.
Oh.
They just come in and help themselves.
Help themselves. I let them buy me coffee now.
And you couldn't very well just keep the coffee in your pocket?
No.
In your trunk, locker.
Sneak behind the door and make your cup. Isn't that something?
Now the pressure's let up a little?
As far as I'm concerned, it has, yeah.
Frank can tell you ever so.
Financially, yes.
You'll have to have a little supervision.
If he will take it. He all got awful hard-headed in the last couple, 3 weeks.
Staying away from home
hasn't
helped.
No. Well, I'll tell you. He's just 16. He's not capable of assuming the responsibility of an automobile and everything that goes with it.
Yeah.
He's a good boy.
Sure.
He's settled. Above the average, but he's not settled enough to assume the responsibility of the upkeep of an automobile.
And everything goes with it.
That's right.
That's a lot of responsibility.
That's right. But now, Laura, as far as her and her automobile is concerned, I feel she's perfectly worthy of assuming the responsibility.
Yeah. Well, now, you hadn't said anything about Laura. Is she... everything going all right?
Everything's going fine. Real good. Real good.
Well, everything quiet.
Everything's quiet. She's quieting back down. Getting along real good.
Nothing bothers her over there on the job.
No. Just as happy as a lot. And you can tell when she's really happy,
yeah.
Or when it's a put on.
Yeah.
I can tell when she walks in the door whether she's happy or not with her work.
Yeah.
And Helen seems to be situated.
Is feeling better, Helen?
I don't know. diet, she wants to lose weight. She wants to do it herself. And she can't do it. She likes to eat too well. There ain't one kind of a diet she can go on and lose weight. She can drink water and gain weight. And I'm going to be like the old boy was, worked for Jacksonville Machinery. Seafood diet. Seafood, not eat it. He said he would eat a few bites enough to quench his hunger, push back, and go on about his business.
Yeah, take something out.
Just enough. He'd get hungry. Just take a few bites to break his hunger streak, push it back, and go on about his business. He said, I've lost 12 inches around the waist in 5 weeks by doing that.
Who's that?
I can't tell you his name, but he works for Jacksonville Machinery Company.
Oh.
He takes care of a bunch of these coin laundries around Gainesville. And he was a great big bellied somebody.
And he has come down.
He has come down. I didn't know it. In 5 weeks. I didn't know the man.
He keeps on, he keeps moving, and
right.
Leaves the food.
Yeah, seafood diet. Just see it and not eat it.
Seafood diet. That what he said?
That's right.
A habit, eating is such a habit too, don't you think? Just
yeah.
Like cigars.
I can't get full. I can just eat and eat and eat all the time. But I'd be so big I couldn't get in that door if I kept on eating.
Yeah.
I weigh 140 pounds.
That's most you weigh in sometimes.
Yes, sir. I weigh 140 pounds. Too much. If I get down 128, I'd be a lot better.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Have you got your teeth filed off the way you do?
My point.
You just throw the other way?
Yeah. Laying up the house on the buffet right now. I'm not going to wear them. They're too wide. I can file them and file them. I've got them filed so thin now. They're too wide.
Make
my cheeks stick out.
They might have just switched. They got the wrong fellow's teeth on those.
They may have, but by golly, they're too wide. And I'm going to go back up there and take them, and I'm going to say, look, see if you first can make some amendments here now.
But they could have made a mistake.
That's right.
Would that be cheaper than going through the dentist here?
Oh, yeah. I'd prefer and get a complete set made for $50, uppers and lowers.
Just start all over again
for $50.
Yeah.
And you can't get one to take impression here in Gainesville for $50.
And they'll make the lower for half that?
Yeah.
Well, you don't even have to wrangle with them.
No, well, if I'm giving $25, they'll make me set a plate,
yeah.
Set of teeth, your teeth.
And now, you see, if your mouth's not sore, you can just tell them whether they fit or not right then.
Right then. If they don't fit, say, look here. Fix them, they don't fit.
Well, can you do that?
I'm going to this fall.
Fall?
When we go home for a family reunion in August, I'm going to go do it then.
Yeah.
Just before school starts. Hey, I eat that ham, man.
Yes, I know. And just go by way of there?
Yeah. Save a trip.
Wouldn't be much out of your way.
19 miles.
Where is it?
Florence, South Carolina.
And Florence is over on the west side?
East side. It's just east of Camden. And we go right through Camden when we go home.
Well, I didn't know you went way that far.
Yeah.
East.
Yeah. Camden, South Carolina.
Well, I thought you'd go through Knoxville. Or some such route as that. That's too hilly.
No, I can drive it quicker.
You go around the hills. Is it mileage less or just better roads?
Better roads. 854 miles from the front of my house to in front of Dad's house.
And if you went through Knoxville, it'd be further?
Be right at 1,000 miles.
Oh.
That doesn't sound reasonable.
It would.
You know that old dollar atlas we used to get? I guess it costs $2 or $3 now. Had a map of everywhere in Union. That's a handy thing to have.
I got one at home.
I haven't had one of those in years. I very seldom have a Florida map. That's a country.
Well, I'm going to go and pet my horses a little bit more. See if I talk that man into that station. Might take him down there tonight and interview him. I mean, get him into it and show him how and give him a key and let him go.
You won't need to trade so much as you have been, will it? Cars, I mean.
No.
Is that what kept you doing that, about all those bad checks?
Yeah, I had to trade. Still got too many.
Is there anything you can do with them, Cousin?
Yeah, I sell them.
Oh, checks is, what you talking about, checks?
Checks.
Checks? I got one in my pocket that says the sheriff's department sent back to me and said they couldn't find the man.
How long?
$200. I know where he went. This is where I'm sitting here. He went to Mexico.
How long will he stay?
How long will he stay? Well, if I don't get it, if I can get him inside of a year, well, I might as well try to check up.
Will he stay a year?
He probably will.
He'll hike out in some other direction. You won't know where he's.
Yeah, that's right. But I'm not the only one that's holding one like this. They told me down at the University Bank that he had a bunch of them out. A bunch of them.
Well, you really learned about the bad check business, didn't you?
Yeah, because I got a pocket full of them.
They've got you from every angle. He had hit the high road.
That's $400.
And that was one of the best animal cars you had.
That's 63 Ford truck. And it's tied up in Louisiana right now. And he's still in jail. And I can't go get the truck.
Yeah. It's impounded.
That's
ironical.
He's hauling dope, babe.
Oh.
They caught him with a truck loaded of dope and 7 women in that truck.
In your truck?
That's right. And I had the bad check.
Cookie, don't they know they can't, with all the flat feet in the world now, they can't get away with anything? Everybody's open public business. Why, they can't even moonshine. They can't even moonshine for 6 months anymore.
No.
Now, that's pitiful, isn't it? When a man can't even put moonshine on his own property or the property next to him, ain't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It just doesn't make sense. But, you know, I don't believe. And if moonshine was the only way I had to provide for my family, was making moonshine whiskey. I don't believe that they could tear up my steel if that was the only means of providing for my family.
You think you could make it? Get ahead of them?
I believe I'd try.
How would you go about it?
I wouldn't let them in there.
They'd have to get in there before they broke it up.
Right.
See it, you couldn't buy sugar. They sail over in the airplane and you don't know they're looking at you. And you're not a mole. And you can't grow beets.
Well, I think, by golly, that they would have to grant me permission to make whiskey. If that's only means. Of providing for my family.
Just give you a special permit.
Right.
Well, that's not the reason they do it. They want a little easy money.
So they want to take me for all the money I got. So they can float around on easy money. Yeah, that's the reason they take so many people for all the money they got.
Yeah.
So they can float for a while on easy money.
Yeah, that's right. And they're pretty slick at it, aren't they?
Yeah.
But they take a chance.
Yeah. Yeah, too many ways of providing for your family.
Yes. You don't need to.
Because if you're a nigger, the government's automatically going to take care of your family.
Yeah.
Automatically.
Yes. You can be perfect drunkards, they'll still take care of you.
That's right. Well, I better run.
See that beautiful fella?
Yeah.
He's a handsome fella. He's fresh. You see that plumage is all fresh.
Yeah.
It's dark the first year, and then it gets a little bit lighter. Fades a little, I guess. No, of course he sheds it all.
Yeah.
But the young ones have a little dark color. You want to see those?